Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we are continuing our sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. We started all the way back on Ash Wednesday with the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, and we will not finish this until Easter Sunday, two Sundays from now, when we conclude with, what else, the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. But today we're just a little past the halfway mark with the fifth petition. If you could please turn with me to page 324 in the front of the hymnal, we will speak together the fifth petition and explanation from the Catechism. The fifth petition, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them. Ask that he would give them all to us by grace, for we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. Have you ever sinned in a way that made you think that God could not possibly forgive you? I'm not talking about the seemingly little things like telling your kids that the goldfish went to live in Florida or going a couple miles per hour over the speed limit. No, I'm talking about the big things. The things that don't leave you any mental wiggle room in terms of whether or not it is a sin. Murder. Any murderers in the room. An affair. Abuse. Theft. Pornography. Hatred, lying, cheating, coveting. Hang on. As that list went on, the sins started to hit a little closer to home, didn't they? Suddenly it's no longer about the extremes like the murderers and rapists, but it's about the stuff we do every day and every week. The extremes may be where this is the most obvious, but it can happen with any sin we commit. We ask, can God truly forgive what I've done? We are left pleading with him for mercy, which is exactly what David does in Psalm 51. Let's actually read together Psalm 51, verses 1 through 12, responsively by verse. Psalm 51 is found in the front, in the very front of the hymnal. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out all my transgressions. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, behold, I brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me.
Behold, you delight in truth, and inward meaning, and you teach me wisdom, and
sin forever. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Let me hear your joy and gladness. Let
hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. How often do our pleas for mercy from God, for forgiveness from God, echo those of David here after he was caught in sin? The sin in which he was caught was one of those big and obvious ones. He lusted after and slept with another man's wife, and not just another man, but one of his good friends, one of his so-called mighty men. He slept with his wife while he himself was out in the war. He seduced her, she became pregnant, and then David tried to cover it up. First by having her husband sleep with her, so yeah, that kid is totally his, not mine. But the husband was a little too honorable for that. He refused to go home and sleep in comfort while his army brethren were in the field. A much better man than his king, I might add. And so instead, David decides to cover it up a different way. Instead, he arranges for the husbands to be killed in battle and marries his wife, Bathsheba, himself. And so when the child is born, no one is there to object to David saying that, yeah, everything happened above board. And so no one was the wiser except God. God knew, and God sent the prophet Nathan to accuse David of his sin. And so when Nathan accused David for his sins, David turned around and repented and begged for God's mercy in the words of our psalm. And when we also feel the crushing weight of our sins, we also turn to God with pleas for mercy. In fact, in our worship service, it includes exactly those words in the Kyrie right at the beginning, Lord, have mercy. We know what we have done wrong, and we know that we need God's forgiveness. The Ten Commandments are pretty clear on exactly that. In fact, when we have confession absolution, I will normally run through the Ten Commandments in my mind while we are, just before we speak together, the confession. Whether it's other gods, whether it is misusing the Lord's name, not remembering the Sabbath, dishonoring our parents and other authorities, hurting, hating, adultery, that's a big one, stealing, lying, coveting, we know our sins. Or do we? Do we really know and acknowledge our sins? Do we pray with the psalmist, search me and see if there be any grievous way in me? Or do we forget those other sins? The sins we know about are bad enough. What about the ones that we don't know? Sometimes our problem is that we reject God's law and deny that an action truly is a sin. Oh yeah, forgive all of these sins, but not that thing. That's not really a sin. It's not really a sin to lie to my wife. It's not really a sin to look at that other woman. It's not really a sin to, yes, it is. Do we accept that those things are sins? We see this in society all the time. People who deny God's clear statements in favor of what they want to believe. Sometimes, even when we acknowledge our sins, the magnitude of the crime is such that we doubt that God would be willing to forgive it. In fact, everyone, I think, at one point or another asks the question, can God really forgive such and such? Can God really forgive that serial killer who murdered an entire town? Can God really forgive Adolf Hitler? Can God really forgive? Can God really forgive our sins? The only way to answer that question is by turning to his word, where he answers it very definitively. Can God forgive us? Absolutely yes. The death of Jesus on the cross forgives all of our sins. The way to make what is dirty clean is to wash it. And so the sinless Son of God, by his death, washes away all our sins. God cleanses our sins by putting them all on Christ, his Son. Repentance and forgiveness are inextricably linked. God uses the law to convict us of our sins. We have sinned. And so we then turn to God in repentance because we have nothing to offer him that he would accept. He washes away our sins and he cleanses us and forgives us for Christ's sake. Because of Christ's death on the cross, our repentance to God, God forgives our sins. There are no sins that he does not forgive. All our sins are placed on Christ. In place of our unclean heart, God gives us a clean one. Psalm 51 is very clear. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. And God does exactly that. He gives us a clean heart. He takes away our sins. He forgives us, not because of anything we have done, but because of what Christ has done for us. Our Heavenly Father does indeed forgive our sins. He sent his only begotten Son as a testament to his forgiveness toward us. We have no need to fear God's wrath against sin because we have been redeemed by the blood of his Son's sacrifice. Our worship service today includes two key testaments to God's forgiveness toward us. We began the service with the rite of holy baptism in which three little boys, Austin, Rylan, and Keaton, all had their sins washed away and forgiven. St. Paul describes this act in no uncertain terms in Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. In baptism, Austin, Rylan, and Keaton were all spiritually buried with Christ and have all spiritually risen with him in Christ's resurrection. This act means that their sins no longer matter. They left them with Christ in that baptismal font. The second testament to God's forgiveness comes in just a few short minutes when we will celebrate the Lord's Supper, our regular remembrance of Christ's death and resurrection. In this act, Jesus gives us of himself his true body and his true blood so that we may receive with it the forgiveness of our sins. Our sins are forgiven because Jesus died on that cross for us, and by our participation in the Lord's Supper, we remember that his death takes away our sins. And so, of course, our Heavenly Father forgives our sins. His Son's death assures us of that fact. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.